Welcome to Alternative Investments Chat,
where we demystify the world of alternative investments and financing for entrepreneurs and investors alike.
With these discussions, we hope you're more empowered to unlock opportunities in your business or portfolio. I'm Erin.
And I'm Erica.
Let's get started.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Alternative Investments Chat. I am Erica here with my beautiful co-host, Erin. For those of you who are watching the episode, not just listening, you may notice that we have switched positions. Erin has a little bit of an injury today, so we're going to get in her neck. So we're going to try our best to get through this episode. And for those of you who are just listening, well, I'm sorry because this is funny. not to make light of your situation.
We're just making sure that everyone is paying attention. That's all.
Exactly, exactly. So today we're going to dive in to the best of our ability with regulation best interest or Reg BI. Mm-hmm. So the SEC is always making amendments and adapting rules to all their good stuff. And if you
SEC
think,
always amending, always adapting.
Always adapting. I don't know if I'd always call it good stuff, but this rule is specifically for those broker dealers.
Yeah, exactly. So today we're going to give a quick overview on Reg BI and how it specifically affects alternative assets, which is kind of our whole deal here. Mm-hmm. And also how businesses are adapting and changing to the regulatory landscape that is ever evolving. So let's begin with breaking down Reg BI. Reg BI went into effect on June 30th, 2020. We love 2020. It's our favorite year. I can't think of a better year, to be honest.
Those drugs are hitting you right now.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly. It was established by the SEC, as we said, with the sole purpose of enhancing investor protections. Typically, all these rules that do come into play are with the goal of protecting investors. Yeah. And this imposes a higher standard of conduct, specifically on broker dealers and their associated persons.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So this regulation seeks to ensure that those broker dealers act in the best interest of those retail investors. So the guys and girls that don't really understand all the ins and outs of investing. Those are, you know, me, you, who are, you know, probably a lot of our guests who are not guests, are people who are listening. Mm-hmm. You're probably a retail investor. So, and especially when it comes to what the broker dealer is recommending. Mm-hmm. So, and then there are these four primary obligations that these broker dealers have to meet for recommendations. So one of those is a disclosure obligation. So with this obligation, broker-dealers must provide written disclosure of to those retail customers. It basically explains the capacity in which the broker-dealer is acting. So are they acting as a broker-dealer or are they acting as an advisor? Because believe it or not, those are actually two different things. they need to outline the fees, costs, and the types of services being offered. Mm-hmm. And then they need to highlight material facts about potential conflicts of interest, including financial incentives. We'll talk about that just a little bit more. But basically, you know, you get fees when you're a broker dealer. Mm-hmm. And if the fee is higher, you might want to push something. That's not okay.
Sure, sure.
Then you also have a care obligation. So these recommendations that these broker dealers are making, they must be in the best interest of, again, those retail customers, considering a few items. Mm-hmm. The investor's investment profile, for example, meaning their age, their financial situation, their risk tolerance, all those things that we talk about in plenty of our other episodes, yeah. Those need to be taken into account. There are those potential risks, rewards, and costs associated with the recommendation as well. Again, alternative investments sometimes have fees, and you need to make sure that you're explaining those to your clients.
Right, right.
And then broker-dealers must avoid making recommendations that place their interests ahead of those customer interests. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear this over and over again. Sometimes broker-dealers, you know, there are incentives for them to sell certain products. That's not okay. They want to make sure that whatever they're recommending is in the, again, the whole point of this regulation, in the best interest of those retail investors.
Yeah.
So, Erin, why don't you tell us about those two other obligations?
I'd love to. The other one, or the third, I guess I should say, is conflict of interest obligation. So it's basically what it sounds like. Firms must identify, disclose, and mitigate conflicts of interest, which could include eliminating sales contests or quotas that could incentivize brokers to recommend unsuitable products. This kind of reminds me of when people get like parking tickets or speeding tickets and they'll be like, oh, the police officer needs to meet their quota. Have you ever like heard that before?
Oh, yes, I have. And you're like, oh, you were speeding.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that big of a deal.
But it just kind of reminds me of that where sometimes it could feel unfair, right?
Yeah.
Even though don't speed and don't park in places you shouldn't be. And also managing financial incentives such as commissions or proprietary product sales. And then there's also compliance obligation. Broker-dealers must establish, maintain, and enforce written policies and procedures to ensure compliance with Reg BI. Duh.
Compliance is a big thing with compliance. The SEC.
Yeah, got to be following the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're like me, you might be thinking about another little vocab term that we've mentioned before, which is fiduciary responsibility or duty. And you might be thinking, this sounds a lot like that. So yeah. How are these two things different?
Right, right.
Well, Reg BI specifically applies to broker-dealers and their registered representatives, retail customers defined as individuals who use recommendation for personal, family, or household purposes.
Got it.
And investment advisors are subject to a separate fiduciary duty under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940. Although Reg BI does complement a lot of those same principles and those requirements that are outlined there as well.
Got it. So basically what this is meaning is that the broker-dealers, their scope applies to the recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as an investment advisor, their scope applies to the entire advisor-client, there we go, relationship. So
exactly.
From start to beginning, anything that they do, it has to be with a fiduciary responsibility.
Right, totally.
So let's talk just quickly about how Reg BI directly impacts advisors.
Yeah, absolutely. Advisors, this is important for you.
Listen up.
Listen up. Reg BI has significantly influenced practices and operations of financial advisors, as you can imagine, particularly broker-dealers and registered representatives.
Mm-hmm.
Investment advisors have that fiduciary duty that we mentioned underneath the Investment Advisors Act of 1940. They are not directly regulated under Reg BI. And this rule has still reshaped the financial advisory landscape.
I can imagine that, yeah.
Yeah. This is especially, if you think about it, for professionals operating as dual registrants, people who are both broker-dealers and investment advisors.
Interesting. That's
those
interesting.
Overachievers out there.
Yeah. So Reg BI imposes a best interests mm-hmm. standard that requires broker-dealers and their advisors to put the client's best interest ahead of their own when making recommendations. Again, we talked about it in one of the obligations, but just because a return might get an advisor a little bit higher of a commission, if it doesn't fit within their client's portfolio
right.
or within their best interest, they should not
recommend
be recommending it.
Absolutely.
Again, there's a higher standard of conduct, especially when it comes to accountability with these broker-dealers and this Reg BI. And advisors must now consider factors like costs, risks, and alternatives when making those recommendations again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. And especially with alternatives, that's our magic word. That's the reason why we're all here.
Alternative investments chat. It's not just investments chat.
That's right. That's right. Don't forget where you are. So
where you came from.
I'm sure that there are other impacts on advisors besides the ones that we mentioned, but let's shift our gears and let's discuss those impacts and what those mean specifically for alternative investments.
Okay, yeah, because alternatives are way different than stocks and bonds and stuff.
Yes, they are. Reg BI directly impacts how BDs, broker-dealers, and their registered representatives recommend alternative investments. Alternative investments, just to list a few, if you're new here, private equity, hedge funds, real estate, investment trusts or REITs, private placements and other non-traditional assets. Those are all considered alternatives and recommending those to retail customers. Because alternative investments are often higher risk or considered higher risk,
yeah.
less liquid and more complex than traditional investments, this really is important. You have to make sure that you're finding that balance for your client.
Yeah.
And it introduces, Reg BI introduces stricter requirements for the recommending of those products to ensure that they align with the best interest of the client, which
yeah.
is the most important thing.
That's, you're absolutely right. And, you know, with stricter requirements, there comes a few additional steps for the advisor because, you know, you want to make sure that you're following everything.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an enhanced product due diligence, which, of course, everyone knows is my favorite. So advisors must thoroughly understand the features, risks, fees, the liquidity
right.
Of an alternative investment before they should ever recommend it especially to a retail investor.
Definitely.
They must also compare the alternative to responsibly available alternatives. So like I said earlier, those traditional stocks or mutual funds to ensure that it's suitable for the client's specific financial situation. Alternatives can be very complex. Like you said, there's a lot of risk for a high reward.
Yeah.
That might not be someone's end all, you know, be all game.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to really focus on that too much.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also want to think about your client. I'm thinking very generally, if you're at a store and you feel that the salesperson is really trying to sell you something, it can make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Or if you have someone who's really recommending options after they've listened to you, you're A, more likely to buy the thing, and B, you know, if you want to say, oh, I'll sit this one out, and they'll say, oh, no problem, you'll remember that.
You absolutely will, yes.
There are two other requirements that come to mind, stricter suitability and heightened disclosure.
Yeah.
With the stricter suitability, advisors must demonstrate that the alternative investment is appropriate given several factors like financial situation and needs, risk tolerance and time horizon,
mm-hmm.
investment objectives, and experience. These are all things that we've mentioned before when it comes to alternative investments, but specifically within Reg BI, this is the law. These are things that you have to follow.
Yep.
So not just a recommendation any longer, but things that you actually have to do.
Yep.
This is critical as retail investors are often unfamiliar with alternatives. Part of the reason that we have this podcast that is focused on alternatives is because people are generally unfamiliar with them. So if you're thinking about a client, they might not know the ins and outs of alternatives.
Yeah, we got lucky in the sense that we get to do a lot of research and learn about them. We're still retail investors. I think we know a little bit more than most, but you know, somebody who might be in their 60s, 70s, or 80s who's still trying to grow a little bit of wealth in their investments, perhaps for retirement or to leave to their grandchildren, they don't understand what these are. These weren't around when, I mean, real estate was around, but,
sure.
you know, that wasn't something that they invested in.
Right, right. I mean, if we even think about, like, cryptocurrency, like, that's a new thing, a brand new thing.
And, yeah.
You know, REITs even are a newer thing. So there's a lot of people, too, who just don't know a lot about investing in general. And that's not on the fault of them. Some people just don't find it interesting and don't look into it.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the disclosure part, which is also important, retail investors aren't familiar with these types of investments, so they must be brought into the know, and all of those disclosures should be presented in plain language or layman's terms, maybe, as you might have heard before, to ensure that the clients understand what that trade-off is.
Yeah, they don't, if you spit a bunch of fancy words at them and they're like, okay, sounds good, that's not in their best interest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you said, in plain language. So Reg BI also has several other requirements for those broker-dealers, but the last one that I want to discuss is the focus the regulation has on concentration and diversification. Alternative investments are often illiquid and concentrated in specific sectors, like you just said, like real estate or energy.
Sure.
If you want to learn about energy, we have episodes on that.
Yes.
But Reg BI requires advisors to ensure clients are not overexposed to those alternatives, which could result in undue risk. Again, you want to make sure that not all of your eggs are in one basket. We want to spread those guys out. We don't want breakfast. We want to make sure that we have enough money to survive until we're no longer survived, right?
Yeah,
until we're no longer here. So, for example, a recommendation to allocate 40% of the portfolio to private REITs for a client with moderate risk, that might actually not be good under Reg BI. Again, they might not understand that the real estate has a great, you know, some of the returns are like 14, 15, 16%. That's awesome.
Sure.
But what happens if it goes under?
Right.
Where's your monies go?
Gone.
Bye. Like our friend, just be free.
Our little bug friend.
That's okay. But we want to make sure that the recommendations, again, just because, you know, we have that old 40-60 mentality, doesn't always fit everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You might be someone who might be more suited for, you know, 30-70 or maybe even less. It all depends on your client.
Yep, exactly.
So we're just about at the end of our episode here. So to kind of wrap things up, Reg BI significantly raises the bar for recommending alternative investments.
Yeah.
It ensures that investors are protected from unsuitable or overly complex products that don't work for them or they may not understand. Advisors need to balance unique benefits of alternative investments with fiduciary-like principles of transparency. Let's see if I can talk. Transparency.
Your neck doesn't work and now your mouth's not working.
Well, now it's spreading. I'm not going to be able to walk next week. fiduciary-like principles. We'll just start it from the top. Like transparency. Yes. Conflict mitigation and client-first decision-making. You want to keep your client in the center of what you do.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to do, but now it's also a legal thing that you have to do. Reg BI isn't without its challenges, but it can significantly help advisors build trust and long-term client relationships. It is sometimes could be feel like extra hoops that you have to jump through. But in the end, I do think that it is best.
Well, yeah, you want to take care of your client. Maybe they'll recommend more clients.
Yeah.
So, well, that's it for today's episode. And we feel like it's your best interest to like, subscribe, and follow. So until next time, have a great day.
Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for more insight on our next episode.
And don't forget to subscribe to continue the alternative investments chat.
See you next time.
Content provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as professional, financial, or investment advice. This podcast should not be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy any securities. We strongly recommend that you seek advice from a qualified professional before making any financial decisions.